coming to you live from the studios of the Clinch County News in Homerville, Georgia. It's the Behind the News podcast with Lynn Robbins and Blake Pittman.
Hello and welcome to the inaugural Behind the News podcast, where we took a look at behind the headlines of the Clinch County News, Axon County Citizen, Lanier County Advocate, and Eccles County Echo newspapers. I'm Lynn Robbins. I'm the publisher of those newspapers. I'm joined by Blake Pittman, the editor of the Atkinson County Citizen. And what we're going to do with this podcast is give you an additional look, an addendum to what we cover in our newspapers, and take a look behind the headlines, give you details, maybe some context that you can't get because of the format of newspapers, and you know, because we have problems or limitations in terms of length and time, and take a sort of deep dive into things. And sometimes we'll throw in our opinions and talk about what's going on. And really, this is just a way that we can add context and add to so people in our communities can know better what's going on in their communities and be better citizens and voters. So what we're going to do, and first of all, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Lutz Brown Pigler Manley Insurance in Homerville. They've been our insurance people forever and do a great job. And we encourage everybody to visit Eric Lutz and the folks down in Lutz Brown Pigler Manley. Our other sponsors are Roberts Milling Company in Pearson, and also the Shack Restaurant, that new restaurant in Pearson there, and on the corner of, or near the corner of 84 and 441, and the best dinner place in all of South Georgia, the Country Cabin. So we appreciate those folks sponsoring this podcast, and if you see them, tell them that you appreciate it as well. So we're going to take a break. After that break, we're going to hear from one of those sponsors, and after that break, we're going to talk about a recent sentencing of the Atkinson County, or former Atkinson County Probate Court Judge, and also talk about the basketball playoffs going on here in South Georgia, and also that District 176 House race that's now going to a runoff. So we'll talk about those things right after this message from one of our sponsors.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
Visit your local insurance folks at Lutz Brown Pigler and Manley in downtown Homerville, or give them a call at 487-5411.
Hello and welcome back to Behind the News, a new podcast from the Clinch County News, Atkinson County Citizen, Lanier County Advocate, and Eccles County Echo newspapers. And one of the big headlines this week, Blake Pittman, is in the Atkinson County Citizen about the sentencing hearing for Margie O'Brien, who's the former probate court judge there in Atkinson County. And please tell us about that.
Basically, what happened this past Thursday, former probate judge Margie O'Brien went before a judge and was sentenced to 3 years of prison time for her role in missing monies dating back to, well, actually since the start of her tenure there around 2006-2007. What happened, late 2016, they hired an auditor to come in and do an annual audit on all of the county's funds. Upon pulling cash receipts, check receipts, money order receipts, stuff of that nature, they initially noticed $4,000 to $5,000 in missing funds from the probate judge's office. Of course, that led them to throw up some red flags. The GBI got involved. All in all, after the whole investigation was done, there was a little over $433,000 missing, come from things such as speeding tickets, marriage licenses, firearm licenses, you know, anything of that nature that would go through that office is where they narrowed it down that it came from. Margie was originally indicted on 81 counts of theft by taking, and 2 counts of racketeering, which would have bled over into federal charges. She resigned her position in 2017, stepped down. They had an election, elected a new probate judge, and from then on out, it was pretty well just an investigation from then until now. We got word in late November that they were going to have a jury trial starting December 3rd, but the last week in November, they had a plea deal was reached. They had a small plea hearing at the courthouse, didn't really notify anybody. We kind of got lucky. weekend got word from an insider that they were having that plea deal. And so we went, and basically what happened, the deputy attorney general for the state of Georgia said that the state would agree to allowing her to plead guilty on 12 charges and of theft by taking. They would throw away the other charges and the two charges of racketeering. So on that day, it was the week before that, Marjorie Brown with her attorney Converse Bright out of Valdosta pled guilty to those 10 charges. They said that they were going to do a sentencing in January. It got pushed back to this past Thursday. And then, like I said earlier, when Thursday got here, they had a restitution hearing that lasted about 2 hours. And then the judge from the Tifton Circuit passed down the sentence. The state was recommending anywhere from 2 to 4 years and full restitution. The defense argued that she shouldn't serve any time because she'd already committed herself to house arrest and things of that nature, and basically laid out an argument of her bills are X amount, her income based off of just her husband's job is a certain amount, and she can't afford to pay restitution. The state called the actual CPA that was over the audit to the stand, and he testified about how they went about noticing that the money was missing, and he pretty well laid out every step that they took. He was cross-examined by the defense, and the defense attorney, pretty well tried to, disprove what he was saying and, make the case that other people had access to the money and that it wasn't Miss Margie. And the CPA was pretty well, he was on his game that day. He was on the ball. He had all his facts laid out. After they excused him from the bench, then the defense called 3 or 4 character witnesses for Miss Margie. They were all cross-referenced. Then he actually called Margie herself to the stand, which kind of shocked me. I wasn't expecting her. And through that whole proceeding, he kind of asked her, why she hadn't had a chance to get a job since 2017. She replied with she's afraid to go out in public because she's afraid of what everybody thinks about her. And just kind of laid out this case of like stress and clinical depression and all this other stuff that the defense kept throwing out. The state argued back that she had never actually been diagnosed as having clinical depression and whatnot, and that, the deputy attorney general he repeated over and over again. He said, I know this is a bad situation. He goes, but you still have time to redeem your family name once you get out of prison with whatever sentence they set. So after all of this, the judge spoke up and he made a couple of statements, and he sentenced her to 3 years in a state penitentiary, and she has to pay, it's not full restitution. The amount was $433,000 originally, but the county had an insurance bond for $124,000 that they've already cashed in and received. So Margie Brown will be responsible for that other $393,000 or however much it was. Once she gets out, the judge said she will have no less than 6 months upon release to find a suitable job and to begin paying the funds. At this point, Converse Bright spoke up again and said that in his opinion, it was setting her up to fail to order her to pay restitution that they know she couldn't afford. And then he said, and I'm sure the Georgia Court of Appeals will see it my way. So that kind of leads me to believe they're going to file an appeal on the whole issue, because Judge McCorvey said that she has to pay the entire amount that wasn't covered by the insurance bond. Another condition as a part of that is she has to allow them to take out an insurance policy on her, the county, to cover up to $500,000 if she should pass away during the time that she's paying the restitution. She was ordered to report this past Monday, but since Monday was a holiday, she reported to Tuesday and was transferred to the Georgia Diagnostics Classification Prison to be classified and sorted out, gave a security clearance and all that, and then she will start her sentence.
And she's going to have 3 years of prison time, but also tell me about the probation.
Yes, she has 3 years to serve inside on the first 10 charges. On charge 11, he gave her 15 years probation to serve concurrent with the 3 years. And then on count 12, he gave her another 15 years probation to serve consecutively to the first probation. So she'll get credit for 3 years of that while she's in prison. So basically, to lump it all together, she'll serve 3 years in prison and then do 27 on probation once she gets out.
And new probate court judge in Axon County, and they have made they've made sure that this type of thing can't happen again, right?
Yes, yes. They've one of the things that Converse Bryant kept bringing up was the fact that the cash money was supposedly in a box in a vault that was always left open. And he tried to paint this picture like everybody that came in that office had access to it, from different attorneys, different court personnel, and just random members of the public, even though there was always somebody sitting at that desk while that vault was open. So now I'm not sure exactly what procedures they've enacted, but they have assured us over and over and over and over again that only a certain amount of people have access to that vault at any given time, and that there's not just cash laid out anywhere for people to just walk by and pick up and take when they want to.
And Blake has a story in this week's Axon County System, which gives some more quotation from folks during that restitution hearing, and you did a good job on it. So if you want further explanation of that, pick up a copy of The Citizens. Got a good story about it. Basketball playoffs are in full swing right now. Lanier County had both their boys and girls teams advance to the playoffs. They lost in the first round. The boys lost at Dooley County by, I think, two. And the girls had to drive all the way up to Towns County, which is almost in North Carolina, in Hiawassee, and they lost to Towns. Clinch County's girls got a bye. They were the number 8 seed out of the 24 teams seeded in the playoffs. And last night they played Mitchell County and won by 9, and played pretty impressively. They were down by 11 in the first quarter and then just really controlled the game from then on. So now they will play. And I don't like this, the way this playoff's set up. You know, it used to be like that, you know, you played on Wednesday or Thursday and then you played again on Friday and Saturday. And the playoffs, you know, you didn't have to wait. We've got to wait all the way to Tuesday or Wednesday of next week for them to play again. And they'll be playing at Greenville, which is the number 1 team seeded in the tournament. They're also the defending state champs, and that's probably about 4 hours away, it's over between sort of Columbus and Atlanta. And so they'll be going there probably Tuesday to play, and that will be in a quarterfinal match. And this is the first time the Lady Panthers, or the Pantherettes now, have been to the quarterfinal since 1996. That's really something. When I saw that, I couldn't believe it. It seems like we've, because our girls' basketball program has had so much success that they've been to the quarterfinals since then, but that's not the case. So the boys play, we're broadcasting this or recording it right now on Thursday, and the boys play tonight, the Clinch boys, at Wilkinson County, also the defending state champ, in a gymnasium called the Palace, which seats 2,500. This is a Class A school, has a 2,500 seat arena. And the reason that they have such a big arena, I think, is because for a long time, their basketball coach was also their superintendent of schools. So he allotted a lot of money to their basketball program, and they're serious about it. And so that should be interesting tonight. If the Panthers should pull the upset and beat Wilkinson County, they will go to the quarterfinals. And again, we'll have to wait until next week to play again.
An interesting thing while we're on that subject, our girls have already played Greenville one time this year, and we lost by, what, three points?
Three at a Christmas tournament in Turner, yeah.
Anybody knows how hard it is to beat somebody twice. It's Clinch County. How many football state championships have we won in the last 4 years after having been beat by that same team in the regular season? It should be an interesting matchup for both girls
and
boys.
Yeah, and you know, we have the psychological advantage right there. I'm hoping that Greenville comes in with the big head, no offense to you, and that they overlook the Pantherettes, but we'll have to see about that. The early voting for the runoff, the District 176 runoff, will be starting in Lanier County on Monday. We'll be starting in Atkinson County. When?
It is Monday, March 4th through Friday, March 8th, from 8 to 5 daily at the Board of Elections office right off of Austin Avenue. It's actually down past our office, about a quarter of a mile on the right.
And in that, they had the runoff, or they had the special election, which was, they had to have the special election because Jason Shaw, who was, had been the District 177 representative in the Georgia House, resigned. He was appointed to the Public Service Commission. That left that seat open. They had to have a special election on February 12th. In that special election, they had four people running. There was no primary or party primary. And Franklin Patton had the majority of the votes, but he did not have enough to avoid a runoff. You have to have over 50%. So he was at 43%. James Burchett, who's an attorney from Ware County, finished second. Those two will be in the runoff. The two other people in the runoff were both Democrats, Barbara Seidman and Barbara Griffin. The interesting thing, Blake, about that is that Burchett, who's from Ware County, really dominated in Ware County, 75% there. Franklin Patton, former school board chairman, also former city councilman from Lanier County, had 76% in Lanier County. Both those counties really came out for their candidates. Atkinson County, Franklin won that, but only by, I think it was 20 votes or something like that. And then Franklin Patton did real well in Lowndes County, 62% I think he got in that county. But Lowndes really didn't show up to vote like they did in Lanier or in Ware County. And I really think this is going to come down to, obviously, first of all, turnout for and that date is March 12th. Is that correct?
Tuesday,
March 12th. But turnout, especially, I think, because I think the Ware County people are going to show up for Burchett. The Lanier County people are going to show up for Franklin. Whoever wins Atkinson County and can get the people out there, and Lowndes County, is going to win and be seated immediately for District 176.
The interesting thing to also consider, Lynn, is that out of the four candidates that were in that runoff, three of them are from Ware County. And so you got to wonder if Burchett is going to be able to carry the votes to those other two candidates carried, and how much of a difference. I mean, I know in this it's just the majority wins, and this we don't have to actually have 50%. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out with those other two candidates being from Ware County as well. Yeah.
So again, or if you're in Atkinson or Lanier County, that district goes around Clinch County. A bunch of people from Clinch County have asked me, because they know Franklin, they wanted to vote for him, I guess. They were like, why can't I vote in that? And they redistricted a number of years ago and moved us into that district, which was Ellis Black's. It's now John Corbett's. And they moved 176 from around Clinch County. It's northern Lowndes County, all of Lanier County, all of Atkinson County, and northern Ware County. But in Lanier County, they'll start early voting this coming Monday, which is the February 25th, and run it through that. I think they're going to have Saturday voting there at the old City Hall, which is now the Farmers Market. And then that will run up until March, that Friday before the election, which is March 8th. So if you are in those counties, make sure you go out and vote in that one special election. All right, we're going to take a break and listen to one of our sponsors. But before we do that, and after the break, we're going to talk about a missing person story we had in the Lanier County Advocate. The proposal to combine the probate and magistrate court in Atkinson County. And we'll talk about baseball kicking off as well right after this break from our sponsor.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Roberts Mill & Company, your local feed and seed supplier on West Albany Avenue in Pearson, Georgia. It is also brought to you by The Shack Cafe, located at 74 West Albany Avenue in Pearson. The Shack is open from Monday through Saturday, 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. They have a hot bar for breakfast and lunch, as well as burgers, fish, chicken, and steak all throughout the day. Also, for one of the best steaks around, check out the Country Cabin Restaurant, located at 879 Mary Batten Road in Pearson. They have the best steaks, chicken, and seafood around. They're open on Thursdays from 5 to 8:30 p.m. and Friday and Saturday from 5 to 9:30 p.m. Come out and see what it's all about.
Hello and welcome back to the inaugural Behind the News podcast. I'm Lynn Robbins, publisher of the Clinch County News, Atkinson County Citizen, Lanier County Advocate, and Eccles County Echo. I'm joined by Blake Pittman, the editor of the Atkinson County Citizen. We're talking about news going on in our communities. And one thing we had in the Lanier County Advocate last week was a story about Brandon Helms, who is a missing person in Lanier County. He's been missing since December 14th, 2015. And it was a story about how the Lanier County Sheriff's Department is still searching for Mr. Helms and looking for clues. And if there was anybody who had any information to give it to him to help him out, try to find this guy. Actually, we have two missing persons and three sort of mysteries in our coverage area with Clinch County. 2 years ago, Jake Connor went missing from a work site down in Colon near Fargo. That was in February of 2017. They found some human remains down there on January 1st, 2018, I believe. And they haven't, the GBI has not, said for sure officially whether or not those were Jake Connor's remains or not. You got to figure they were, but they have not officially said anything. So that's still up in the air, and really no arrests, no news from that. But we're going to, in the Clinch County News in the coming weeks, we're going to do a follow-up on that and a story, try to keep people informed on that. And in Atkinson County, we also had a case of a missing person that was, they figured out who it was, but yeah, it's still unsolved.
Yeah, he was a teenager, 17-year-old Kyrie Hersey, went missing November 5th, 2016 in Willacoochee, just walked away from home and disappeared. They, you know, checked cell phone records, and they pinged his last location as being right around his home in Willacoochee. They searched for him for well over a year, and then February 10th, 2017, an older gentleman in Willacoochee went out to mow a property that he owned that was grown up, and while he was mowing, he found a severely decayed body. Immediately called officials. They came in, closed off the whole area for investigation, sent the body to the GBI crime lab, and they actually used dental records to identify the body as Hersey's body. This has been, you know, over 2 years now that they found that body, and they don't have any leads at all. They obviously, you know, suspect foul play, of course, but they don't have any leads as to who he talked to before he disappeared or anything of that nature. The GBI has issued an award for any information at all that leads up, you know, to them finding out how he died or if there's anybody involved, who it was and all that. And I believe we had talked about, you know, doing some follow-up on that one as well, you know, in the Atkinson County Citizen to try to keep people informed. Also, police do not think that any three of these are linked, that it's not the work of a serial killer or anything like that. It's just coincidence that they all happened around the same time.
Yeah. But if anybody knows anything about any of these cases, please contact your local law enforcement. And you know, we want to keep these cases, remind folks of them, because, you know, that's how the sort of that case in Irwin County of the missing person, you know, they had that podcast and people were talking about it, sort of stirred something up, and then they ended up having an arrest. So we'd like to solve these mysteries somehow. Obviously, these families would. So if you know of anything or hear anything, please contact your local law enforcement. I also had a story in both the Clinch County News and Lanier County Advocate recently about superintendents. Both those school systems are going to be starting superintendent searches. And Clinch County, Dr. Donna Ryan, who is the superintendent, or is the superintendent, announced that she's retiring. She's reaching her 30-year mark and is going to retire in November of 2019. And so the Clinch County Board of Education is going to be starting up a superintendent search. In Lanier County, they fired their superintendent at the beginning of the year, Scotty Hadaway, in a split vote. And then 2 weeks later came back and changed his contract to keep him as an employee as a transition coordinator. But he's not at the board office. He's getting paid $10,000 a year. And he's at the interim superintendent, or whoever they hire superintendent, they can direct him to do stuff, I guess, from his house. But they'll be, I guess, going under the process of looking for a superintendent, a full-time superintendent as well. They have an interim right now. And in Eccles County, they recently went through this as Lance Hurd retired, and they hired Shannon King, who had been working in the system. They've already hired her in January to be the new superintendent. So got two superintendent searches going on, and the one in Lakeland caused a stir because of the way it was handled. But we'll just have to see how that works out. Let's talk about the probate court and magistrate court in Atkinson County. There's a story in the Atkinson County Citizen this week. Blake, tell us about that.
Yeah, the main item they talked about at this past commissioner's meeting, they've actually discussed it at a couple. This is the first one that they've taken action on it. They've decided that they want to combine the probate and magistrate judge's office. So, I mean, basically the name of the game here is saving money for the county and for the taxpayers. So the way it works now, each office, the probate and the magistrate judge, start out with a base salary of $40,967 a year. By combining the two offices, they would get that base salary, whoever was elected, plus an additional $11,642 supplement for performing both duties. So just off of the base annual salary, they would save the taxpayers $29,325 right there. So the process for this is the county commission has already said that they want to do this. They've already voted on it and approved it amongst themselves. Next Thursday at 12 o'clock, they're having a public hearing at the Board of Commissioners office to discuss it. At that hearing, they will pass a resolution stating that they want to combine the two offices. They will then forward that resolution directly to the Representative Tyler Harper, who will then get it included in this legislative session. Once it passes the legislative session, it will then go up for election in the 2020 general election. At that election, they will, you know, they will vote on the unified position, and whoever is elected from that point on, starting in 2021, will assume both duties instead of having a separate magistrate judge, which is currently Hilda James now, and a separate probate judge, who is Carol Durance, who was elected to finish out the rest of Marjo Bryan's term. So that's kind of where they are right now. They're looking at a $29,325 annual savings just off of the rip. Now they don't, that doesn't take into consideration whatever agency, but $29,000 is a pretty decent savings right there.
Oh yeah, per year. Now that's what they estimated. That, yeah. You know, and Clinch County had the same situation a number of years ago, where they decided to combine the magistrate court's office, which was an elected position at the time, separate from the probate court judge. And they decided to do that, and then we had the magistrate court judge run against the probate court judge, and we don't know if that's going to happen in this case or not, but it has to go to, and Tyler, I think, is the state senator.
And
it's got to go through the legislature for that to happen. So when is that
the hearing's next Thursday at 12 at the Board of Commissioners office.
Yeah, so that's your opportunity if you live in Atkinson County to have your voice heard on that issue. Also this week, baseball, high school baseball season started. I'm sort of against baseball season starting in February. February is basketball season. They need to wait till spring a little bit. But they kicked off this week, and we have in the Clinch County News a preview of the Panthers season. They, I think, 4-0 as we speak right now. And also we had a story in the Lanier County Advocate about the Bulldogs starting off their baseball season. I think next week we'll have something about Atkinson County starting their season as well, right?
Yes, next week we'll have a feature, a kind of a preview, a record of where they are so far in this season, and you know, an upcoming game, stuff of that nature will be in the next week's edition of the season.
And I think Clinch County and Atkinson County played on Tuesday. Clinch County won that 6-3. And that's another reason why I prefer that they move back the baseball season to March, because it gives us a little bit of time, you know, I can barely do a preview for, because I'm still covering basketball, you know, and the community's still doing basketball. So,
Which anyway, we kind of run into this every football season too, because basketball starts and we're still in football playoffs. So
we're anyway, if you know somebody in charge, have them change that for me. I'd appreciate
back it. Back it up a couple of weeks.
Exactly. We appreciate you listening to our inaugural podcast of Behind the News, and we appreciate also our sponsors, Lutz Brown Pugler and Manly, and Roberts Milling, The Shack, and Country Cabin. If you see those folks and you enjoyed the podcast, let them know and tell them you appreciate them sponsoring it. We certainly do. We're going to try to do this every week. Every week, we're going to take a look at what's going on in these communities. Again, this will be an addendum to what you get through our newspapers, and also give us a chance to you maybe bring in some people, some newsmakers, talk to them, do a deep dive into different issues. And when big news comes up, you know, we'll be able to talk about maybe some stuff behind the scenes, some details that we couldn't put in the newspaper, in an effort to better inform our community and the people in it. So we appreciate you listening to Behind the News. We will see you next week.